Good morning, everybody. My name is Bob. I'm an addict. And I happen to have the honor and privilege of serving on your world board. Joining me this morning as well is Daniel, who also serves on the board. So this is a World Services Forum discussion. It sounds very ominous and important, doesn't it? Because you guys are going to do the work, okay? If you're coming here expecting to have talking heads, this is how you solve all your problems for infrastructure or difficulties in your local service structure. It's not going to happen, okay? So if you were expecting that, you're going to be sorely disappointed, and if you're going to be that disappointed, you might need to just leave. Okay. Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome.
So what we're going to do is to look at doing a solution-focused inventory. Okay, how many of you here might have attended a worldwide workshop sometime over the past couple of years? Okay, so you're familiar with the process that we're going to use because it's pretty much the same. Having this type of a discussion, and one of the benefits of this is once you see how simple this is, it becomes very easy to do at home. Okay, it becomes very easy to do in your home group. I can work with it. Am I killing you guys out there with volume? Okay, thanks. I've had a little bit of experience with microphones over the years. You like my red shoes, Daniel? That's great. It was a very late night last night. Did anybody else go to the luau? Okay. How what time did you get back?
1:30.
Exactly. It's like. Okay, so a solution-focused inventory on the components of our infrastructure looking to build solutions, you know, trying to find out what it is. We're going to examine solutions based on our traditions and concepts, and you should have on your table sheets with the traditions on one side and the concepts on the other, I think, or they may be two separate sheets. Are they still two separate sheets? We're killing more trees. I keep advocating that we do them double-sided so that we don't have to use quite so much paper, but that's just my old hippie roots. And we'll look at developing principle-based strategies, principles based on our concepts and traditions, strategies or efforts to correct some of the deficiencies we may identify in our service structure, in our infrastructure. It may be that at our home group we don't have a regular secretary and things kind of get slipshod. How can we address that? It may be that at the area we've got difficulty having people fill time slots for the helpline. How can we better address that? What is it that we can do? You know, I think the thing that I like best, especially with the helpline, it always goes through my head, is it's the only service position you can do nude. That got a lot of interest in Tampa whenever we talked about that, because it was like, okay, it doesn't have to be anything else. Okay, and then understand, you know, the training component of this is once you see how simple this is, and we share all this information with you, it's available on the website at na.org. So the same, all of the pretty stuff, except the doesn't have the convention logo on it, all of the brainstorming guidelines and the ground rules and all of that is freely available to you to use this at home or at the area or at the region. Okay, so it's a real easy process. You've done it, haven't you, Lee? Many times, okay. Okay, so does everybody know everybody at your table? Are you all sitting in clusters of people that you know each other across the table? You haven't done a lot of workshops together? Okay. Okay, good. Good, and at a convention that might be constituted as a relationship. Some of them last about that long. You need not move that. Okay. Oh, give members a very brief background. Oh. Well, my name is Bob and I'm an addict. Brief background on me. I got clean in southern Missouri. I moved to Wisconsin. I was there for 6 years. I moved to Florida. I was there for 5 years. I moved to California. I was there for 2 years. Then I moved to Las Vegas. I was there for a year. And I now live part-time in Missouri and part-time in Massachusetts. Okay. So I have good, strong roots. You know, I've got good, deep roots in NA. Okay. Whenever I move, That's the first thing that I do. I want to know where the meetings are. I want to get connected with the local people. I want to get connected there. And I've been really fortunate throughout my recovery to have that opportunity to do that traveling and moving to meet a lot of people. So whenever I'm at an event like this or at a regional convention, there are a lot of folks, a lot of faces that I recognize, and sometimes it's just the face I recognize and I can't bring the name. And I've learned that it's okay to be able to say, I know your face, I remember that I know you, but I can't remember your name. People don't get too upset about it. So, I've been clean 18 years, last December. Daniel, would you introduce yourself and a bit of background about you, please?
Yeah, hi, everybody. My name is Daniel. I'm an addict. I'm not that good in English language. This is because I'm a German guy. Through and through, 100%, but born raised, and I live there, because this is a question I frequently ask. Are you now living over here? No, I don't. And some of you may don't like that, but I don't desire to do it at all, for various reasons. I got clean 25 years ago in a small town called Darmstadt, which is about 50 kilometers south from Frankfurt. So now you know, right? and I live less or more in this area ever since. I'm married for 21 years to one and the same wife, which is an issue here too, if it's still, you know. I'm married for 30 years to 8 wives, which is something you hear here quite often. And I have 2 fantastic teenager kids. Yeah. That's it. Thank you.
Okay, and so this topic of infrastructure came from our discussions as what it is that our fellowship needs. You know, what is it that needs to happen in the fellowship? Our service structure was created in the 80s. It sort of emerged out of the 70s and early 80s, mid 80s. And is it effectively serving what we're trying to do in 2005? You know, in some areas we do very, very well. In some areas we don't do quite as well. In some areas we totally fall on our face. Okay, and that varies from place to place. You know, some local communities may have a very vibrant and well-equipped and well-staffed H&I committee, while the neighboring area may be struggling to get one meeting a week to the jail. You know, so it's what is it that we can do? What is it that's working in this community that can be transported over to this community? Because much of these things, these strategies are portable. They're not based on the community itself. So it's getting that up, getting those ideas out there, having the discussions, having a focus about what's the solutions, what are the solutions beyond the typical sponsorship. Everybody I sponsor has to do service. Okay, that's been identified as a solution since I got clean in 1986. Okay, it works to a certain extent, but there are other things that we can do. You know, the other thing, you know, making sure that your vice chair is ready to take over when you're there. Okay, that's what I was taught when I first got clean. We need to go a step beyond that. We can find other strategies to make sure that people are aware of the opportunities available in providing service for the fellowship and making sure that meetings are available for the fellowship. When we were preparing for part of these discussions at the World Service Conference a couple of years ago, we had a group of people that we brought together, several different groups of people that we brought together for public relations roundtable discussions. Okay, and we had a professional facilitator sit with those folks and have discussions about what were their perceptions of Narcotics Anonymous. How was it that they had Narcotics Anonymous in the local community? Was it effective? Were they responsive? What was it that occurred? Then they would have a presentation from staff at the World Service Office, and then we would continue the discussion to see came all the way through it. What was the thread that came all the way through it? One of the instances that came up is one of the professionals actually went to the extent when they found out that they were going to come to a public relations roundtable, they called their local helpline just to see what it would be like. 3 days later, somebody called back. This is in a major American community. I was very embarrassed because I'm an old PI guy. So it's that kind of thing. You know, that's a part of where this discussion has come from, has risen out of our efforts to try to see what the public views as Narcotics Anonymous. Yesterday, who was at the kickoff festival? The public here, the government here, seems to like Narcotics Anonymous. Okay, we had an official proclamation by the governor, brought by the governor to our kickoff festival yesterday. It's the first time that's happened at a world convention for NA, and it was very just amazing. So the format of the session, we'll have both large group discussions, okay, where we'll be wandering around with one of the cordless mics to give you an opportunity to give us a bullet point about what the issue may be. If it's something that's working really well, give us a bullet point about the issue. If it's something that's not working as well, because it's sort of a what's working, what's not working, we don't need the history, you know, of how the community formed and how this, we just need a what's not working, okay? So it's not a chance for a recovery share. We don't get to get, you know, a long time. So, but what we'll need you to do is each table, we'll need to pick a facilitator. Okay, the facilitator, and there should be facilitator guidelines on your tables. Suggested ground rules. Well, the brainstorming guidelines are for everybody. The suggested ground rules are also for everybody, but it's the facilitator's responsibility to kind of keep the ground rules in mind, to keep the discussion flowing. If somebody seems to be dominating the discussion, to remind them that this is not a time for one person only. Sir, would you come up and join this table? You're going to have more fun if you're sitting with other people. And it looks like a fun group. Okay? So on the brainstorming guidelines, just running through those real quick. Hey, Jordan. One good idea leads to another good idea. No and can't don't exist. Okay, so whenever you start talking about this, these are possible solutions, I hate to use the phrase, but think outside the box. Yeah, exactly. Just get really creative. Be crazy, you know. Creativity has no limits. Be part of. Participate. Think fast. Analyze later. Okay, sometimes our best solutions are one of those spur-of-the-moments. I had a thing that came over last night. I couldn't, as I was trying to go to sleep, this thing popped in my head. I tried to call myself on my cell phone so I could leave myself a message, but it just sent me into my voicemail, so I had to turn on the light and write it down. But it was one of those of not analyzing what it was, but just getting the idea down. Have fun, okay? So we want to have some fun here. Now, the ground rules: stay open-minded, listen and share the time, play well with others, okay? Don't forget why we're here. Stay focused on the subject at hand. Lively conversation is productive. So agree and disagree, that's the process. One more time, avoid repetition. Okay, so if somebody has already said it, you can say, well, what Jim said, I really agree with, rather than repeating it all over again. Okay, it's important to stop and start and stop on time. Okay, so I'm pretty fanatic about that. Oh, and then the most important one is the last. No kicking, biting, or scratching allowed. That was added for the World Service Conference in particular, because even though sometimes we have very important discussions, we don't treat each other so well. So we'll have large group discussion and then also small group discussion. So somebody at your table needs to be a facilitator. If somebody's willing to be a facilitator, raise your hand now. There, there, there. We've got a facilitator. The table back here? You're the facilitator? Let me spell facilitator here. Okay. So what we're going to do, your first task, is to go around the table and introduce yourselves to one another. Okay? Sort of like Daniel and I did. Your name, where you're from, and an interesting fact about yourself. Okay? Just something that people might not know on the face of things. For example, if I was sitting at one of the tables, I'd say, my name's Bob, I'm an addict. I live part-time in Massachusetts and part-time in Missouri, and I have 8 grandchildren. Okay, yeah, I'm old. I saw the wow back there. Yeah, I'm old. So it's just that kind of thing. So we have 10 minutes to do that. So it's really brief, especially for the larger tables. If you've got 7 or 8 at your table, it's going to have a little bit less time than others. But we'll start with that now. Go. Okay, one final task. Sorry. Startled him. He was like, that booming voice coming from above. That only happened when... No, don't go there. All right, so the last final task for this part of it is to identify, have your facilitator identify probably the most interesting personal fact about somebody at the table in a way that's not going to tell everybody necessarily who it was, okay? Because it may be that they've got, you know, whatever. You know, I've heard some pretty interesting things over the years with this kind of discussion. That's pretty amazing what people will tell others they've never met before in life. Okay? Just the most, what you thought was the most important or interesting personal fact. Fellas, if I could have you join this table up front with a larger group, you're going to have more fun than just a couple of you. Yep, this one over here, that'd be great. So, an interesting personal fact, but don't necessarily tell us who it is. Okay, because we've got a nice mix of gender at the table as well. There's only one woman at that table, so, you know, it's kind of, it's interesting. Okay. All right. So we're going to start this. So we're going to have the facilitator report out what the interesting fact is. Lenny?
I'm Lenny. I'm an addict. And I guess the most interesting one at our table was we have a modern ballet dancer turned psych tech.
Sometimes they listen. Sometimes they don't.
Jeff Addict, and we have somebody here who's left their baby for the first time to come to Hawaii.
Okay, and here?
My name's Ron. I'm an addict. Wow, that is loud. We have someone here that helped facilitate or start a meeting in Africa. It was a hard choice because we had someone else that was a singer.
A singer?
Yeah.
A lounge singer kind of singer?
Oh, no. Hi, I'm Jeanette from Atlanta. This young lady from Sacramento. Oh, I'm
just
sorry.
Just tell us the fact. It's okay.
I'm sorry. I apologize. Oh, but you know what? We already heard who she was. I'm sorry, y'all. But they're having problems with their tax, their 501 tax thing. So to me, that was the most interesting thing because that is something that has to be addressed. Sorry. I apologize.
And last one here.
Good morning. I'm Mark. I'm an addict. We have somebody at the table who is on the first vacation they've ever been on in their whole life.
Oh. Cool. I get to have those again when my term ends. Maybe. Okay. So you see how the process works. It's about talking with one another, getting some information, sharing with one another. We've got some really, just from the people that I know in the room, we've got a really nice mix of clean time as well. So there's going to be lots of different things going on with that. So we're going to have you again working in small groups. Identifying what's working and what's not working with our infrastructure. Okay? Everybody know what infrastructure is? Sir? No? Okay. Infrastructure is probably the single word that describes how well of a foundation we've built to provide all of the services for Narcotics Anonymous in our local communities. So as we have that infrastructure in our local community, then we can build on that in our larger communities so that we actually are able to achieve, that point of freedom at the top of the pyramid, and reach the addict. The NAS vision statement is that all of the efforts of NA World Services, and when I say NAS, that's NA World Services. I've fallen into jargon, I'm sorry. But all of this will be inspired by the primary purpose of the groups we serve. Okay, and the primary purpose of the group is to carry the message to the addict who still suffers. Our vision is that one day every addict in the world has a chance to experience our message in his or her language and culture and find a new way for an opportunity of a new way of life. That NA communities worldwide and NA World Services work together in a spirit of unity and cooperation to carry our message of recovery, and that Narcotics Anonymous has universal recognition and respect as a viable program of recovery. So it's about those building blocks. The infrastructure is our building blocks. Much like streets and water are the infrastructure, parts of the infrastructure for a city. Our group services, our area services, our regional services are the infrastructure for our fellowship as a whole. Does that kind of get you an understanding? Okay, great, good. Thank you for being willing to raise your hand that you didn't know, because that's the important part of the discussion, making sure that everybody understands. So, good, good. So what's working and what's not working? For some people, local websites are working. For some people, local websites are a disaster. Okay, I went to a local website recently because I was traveling to that community, and I found it to be the most difficult, frustrating experience I'd had in a long time on the Internet. Some people say that the NAS website is working. If you can read that very busy screen, okay, our homepage has just gotten busier and busier and busier and uglier over the years. So you'll see changes in the next coming year or two because we will have a website redesign. Okay, what's working? Member-to-member communication generally is working in some communities. What's not working? Communications between our service efforts, different service levels. Sometimes getting information from the area to a group can be challenging. What's even more challenging is getting the information from the group to the area or to region. Okay? I mean, it's just one of those things of how do we best do that? How can we communicate with one another most effectively? And what's not working? Little or no training. Okay? Electing somebody because they have the willingness only. Oh, I've never done any public information work, and I've got tattoos from my head down to my toes, but I'm willing to be the face of Narcotics Anonymous in this local community. Thank you for your willingness, but you're probably not the best person we could have doing that. Okay? I'm unemployed, I don't have a regular stream of income, and I'm willing to be the treasurer. Okay? We do this. We do this. Groups and areas do this all the time just because somebody's willing. You know, and this sort of bleeds over into the discussion on leadership. You know, but sometimes you have to establish these are the criteria that we want for our trusted servants to serve us. This is what we need to have happen with these people. Yes, you need to have your job if you're a treasurer. You need to have a regular financial stability. It's not going to mean that they're not going to steal from you, okay, but it decreases the chances. What really decreases the chances is regular oversight, okay, with that. So making sure that people are communicating is the big thing. So we'll have 25 minutes of what's working, what's not working, okay? You can identify any best practices, okay? Something that's really working well in your community if they've got, you know, there's a telephone tree or there's an idea that people are using in your local community. Identify a best practice if there's one that's with it. You know, it makes it a little challenging. Other best practices, I'm trying to remember. And part of this discussion, when you have these discussions at home, take notes and send it into World Services. Okay, we compile all of this, which is why I'm a little confused because I've seen so many of these. I'm trying to remember what's been the most recent. If you would like, you can use these big post-it note sheets. Okay, you can take these and go over to the walls and put them up on the walls and capture your notes, okay, about your discussions. So you don't have to stay at your tables. Okay, you're not restricted to staying in the chair in which you sat when you got here. You can get up, move about the room, so it could be a lively discussion. You're welcome to use those. We'll have a reporting back afterwards, so we're going to do this for 25 minutes. Then we'll come back together as a large group and have reporting back from what's working, what's not working. Probably what will happen in that is you're going to discover that each of the tables identifies pretty much the same thing. Okay, I've had the opportunity to do this session, infrastructure, on three continents so far, okay? In India, here in the States a couple of times, and once in Australia. And the interesting thing about it, essentially all the problems were the same everywhere. You know, so it would make it real easy for me to say, this is the problem that our service structure has, but it works much better whenever we as a group sit together and talk about and identify, oh, yeah, well, that happens in my area, too, or this happens in my home community, or my home group does that. You know, and we hear it member to member, it becomes much more real for us than just a talking head. Okay, and I could do the talking head thing, and it's just boring and overdone. Okay? So what then will be important as you're capturing these ideas, either on post-it notes or if you want to just keep notes at your table on the recording sheets, is to identify the most important what's not working. Okay? Prioritize one of those. And then we'll talk about principle-based solutions for that in the large group, okay, coming out of the concepts and traditions. Okay, so does everybody understand what we're about to do? Small group discussion, what's working, what's not working, okay, in your small groups. You're welcome to use the post-it notes if you want to do those, okay? And then we'll come back in 25 minutes for the large group. Everybody clear? Go.
Okay, here we are. Now, we like to hear from you what the outcome of your discussion is. And like you to listen to us. No, we're ready. We're ready when we're ready. Everything has a time, and the time now is, you know, that we have it. If you got so far, you got so far. If you don't, you don't. So, okay, which one's come first? Some burning desire to start? Okay, here we are. I would ask each and everybody just, you know, to stop yours on the table, you know, and we do it together now, from now on. Okay? And, you know, also as a sign of respect, you know, I would like to do that because this gentleman I was sharing the experience of this group would be a bit unpolite where I'm from, you know, if you still talk while this gentleman is reporting to us.
Thanks. My name is Ron. I'm an addict. In our group, we had a very large discussion over someone with a lot of clean time and someone that quotes the text but misquotes it. And someone that's kind of like in this big popularity thing, in a position to where they took, they would take their view and their opinion as a, what, RCM? To region, and kind of like it kind of sucked everything out of the group, or the groups in that area. And several of us had talked about that, and we had come up with a solution as the fourth concept, possibly having somebody to talk to that person. One of us had talked about fears, and definitely fears would play into that because it's very scary. I mean, it would be very scary for me, somebody that's got like 6 years clean, to turn around and come up to somebody that's got 20-some years clean and say, hey, you know, you kind of misquoted this, and why did you make this decision that blocked the whole area from being able to gain from or be a part of in one situation that was a unity day.
So how would you sum up that challenge? What's the challenge?
The personalities. Yeah, someone said grandiosity back there.
Is there anything in the traditions that you might look at as it relates to that? To solutions? Because you talked about the fourth concept as part of the solutions, and which aspect of the fourth concept?
The first tradition also.
Okay. And the fourth concept is about effective leadership is highly valued in Narcotics Anonymous. Leadership qualities should be carefully considered when selecting trusted servants. Is that what it says? God damn. I'm more awake than I thought. Okay. Great. I'll tell you what kind of flashed through my head as you were talking about this, and I'll try not to do this very much, was about anonymity. Okay, the 12th tradition makes us all equal. And if I've got 6 years clean and somebody's got 20 years clean, I'm going to challenge him when he's wrong. I don't care who it is. I did it at a service meeting with somebody that had lots of clean time and was the chair of the committee, and we had to take an immediate break because he was ready to kill me. And two other members intervened. You know, I found out later that I was near death. I had a near-death experience and didn't even know it. Didn't see the light or anything. Who's next, Daniel?
Yeah, I was wondering who's next. Excuse me.
Jeff Addict. Well, we first, it seems like the most common problem we came up with were phone line related problems. There's a region that has three areas that pool together for their phone lines, and the system doesn't seem to work too well. Bob, are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. And then web updating webs seem to be a common theme.
Is this with your phone line? You would prioritize one. We could talk about the challenge with that one, right? Isn't that the process?
Okay, the challenge was the phone lines.
Phone lines, okay. What's not working? How is it that it's not working with the phone lines?
Not getting a live addict on the phone.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, and not just, you know, with the web being a source of information for the phone lines, not being updated for numbers and things.
So outdated information.
Outdated information, that's good.
Okay. And did you come up with solutions? Or did you only talk about the problem? That's what we always do in NA. We talk about the problem.
Well, Shark Coast, which is on the west coast of Florida, has a system where we directly get the calls live. It's a hotline. And we go through Verizon, and we transfer. We take a 24-hour shift, each addict. We transfer that phone call to the next addict who's on the shift. And so when anybody calls our hotline, local, and we also have a toll-free number, they get a live addict, and it works. And,
so I'm going to capture that as using technology to forward the call to an addict, because you're taking advantage of the technology that's available today that wasn't in the 80s when the infrastructure was developed, sort of arching back to forward the calls. Okay?
I'm Michael. I'm an addict from London. And we had this problem in the London area, where we had a helpline which was live, but we didn't have enough people to man it, basically. And so a lot of the times we'd be getting the answering machine. And people were complaining, you know, why don't we just say the helpline is only open for 4 hours a day and have it manned at that time, so at least we're not lying and saying we haven't. Because on the where to find it would say helpline open from 10 o'clock to 10 o'clock. And in about 2001, 1999, the four London areas got together and set up a helpline representative from each area. And we went back to our areas. We set up a graph, a little grid. There were two-hour shifts. People do two-hour shifts. And one of the complaints that, you know, I've heard here about not updating information, the up-to-date, all the meeting updates were done at the helpline. They're put on the wall. And somebody comes in once a month and then updates them for the where to find. So the helpline will always have the up-to-date of all the information of all the meetings in the UK on the wall. So if there's a new meeting, somebody goes there. We also have the 12-step list there. Ideally, and so anyway, we had this campaign where we passed around to all the areas the sheets showing which shifts were covered and which shifts weren't covered. To become a helpline volunteer, you have to be 5 months to be trained, 6 months after that. And we put that out to all the groups and said, look, we need volunteers. There's a high turnover. We're never more than about 80% covered. But 80% coverage means that maybe there's 2 hours a day missing. So that's how we did it.
Great. So the next table. It seems like we're giving this the bums rush a little bit. But it's, you know, this is a larger process, and we've got one more yet to do. So, what's next?
Hello, my name is Jeanette.
Hi, Jeanette. That big girl voice showed up, didn't it? Scared you.
I'm the PI chair of the South Atlanta area, that's what. We talked about one of the things that's not working is that warm body syndrome. a lot of positions being open and a lot of positions open being filled because of popularity or just out of wanting to serve.
So solutions based out of the principles?
Well, the only solution is you must have working knowledge of 12 steps, 12 traditions, and you also need to have working knowledge of the concepts.
Okay.
So education is the solution.
Knowledge.
Can we take education and application? Knowledge and application.
Thank you. Do we have one more? Do we have one more? We can study.
It's a fire.
It's really hard to write on a moving target. This is a flexible screen. So my penmanship isn't good to begin with, so it's going to be completely illegible. Okay, what's next?
I'm Lenny. I'm an addict. One of the ones we came up with is dealing with the influx of treatment centers, and the newcomers coming from treatment centers, and it's sort of combined with GSR attendance at areas, and one of the solutions we talked about is outreach committees that conduct newcomer workshops with treatment facility people and drug court probation people, and also go out to groups that aren't attending to find out what we can do for you as an ASC and to get you to the ASC.
Okay, so treatment center newcomers, and then doing workshops for them?
Outreach and newcomer workshops and outreach.
Okay. What's next? Where are we at? Oh, back to the back.
I'm Mark Addick.
Hey, Mark.
We talked about a number of the same topics up there, but one that wasn't mentioned was conventions taking away from other service-related structures. And on one hand, maybe too many conventions and too little... not enough willingness to do other parts of service that, like PIH and I, things are going lacking, but we always have a real willing convention committee. It seems like at every convention, the whole committee gets introduced to everybody, and I don't think I've ever seen anybody who's a PI chair introduce himself or be introduced, or his committee introduced for the wonderful work they did. And along with that, we talked about communication, and what we talked about as a solution on several different points was developing qualified, capable, and willing leaders.
Okay, I need you to help me here, because and part of it is I have to own. I've got a personal thing about conventions, so that's why I want to make sure I'm hearing what you're saying and not writing what I want to say. Okay, so if you could restate for me in 5 or 6 words what the issue with conventions is, I'll record that rather than my thing. Okay. So I just have to be completely disclosed about that, because I've got a soapbox about 8 feet tall about conventions, okay? And this isn't the format for that. Talk to me in the hall, and I can tell you all sorts of shit about conventions. Okay, go ahead. 5 or 6 words, a bullet point, to describe what it was you told us about conventions, if you would please.
Too much emphasis on conventions and not enough emphasis on other areas of service. And I was just told positions filled for conventions and not having positions filled for other areas of service.
Area. I'm writing that as too much emphasis on conventions instead of area positions. Is that a fair summation?
That's good. Yeah.
Okay. And your solutions?
And we didn't really have a solution for that. Our solution for overall everything was developing qualified, capable, willing leaders and developing leadership. And hopefully they would work into seeing how other areas need that much need the attention that conventions get.
So do you think looking at perhaps traditions and concepts workshops related to reminding people what our primary purpose is? Okay, and I have to be really cautious because this is part of my soapbox. Okay, and I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, but having that education or having that training base for people,
yes.
Is that, am I putting myself into his comment? I need you guys to tell me if I'm doing that, because, okay. So traditions and concepts workshops? Because this is one of those things, I've done this workshop several times with a staff member from World Service Office, Steve Rush. And he, at this point, talks about, this is the line from The Godfather, you know, where he's got somebody under the gun. And it's like, what are you willing to do? You know, what are you willing to do to save your life? You know, so this becomes the what are you willing to do? You know, are you willing to not have the high profile, everybody can see me, I get lots of kudos, it's a limited event kind of thing with a convention, like an area convention, you plan for it for 6 to 9 months, then in September it's done and you move on to planning for the next one so you can stand up in front of everybody again next year? Or do you do the public information work and helpline work? Here's part of my soapbox. I was 2.5 years clean before I heard somebody say that they got to a meeting in Springfield, Missouri by calling the helpline. I had been working in the helpline for the entire 2.5 years, making sure they had correct meeting information and all of that. But it took 2.5 years. There's delayed gratification, you know, lots of delayed gratification. You know, so it's one of those things of, you know, and I'll get off my soapbox now. Sir.
Big voice, loud.
And sometimes having a discussion like this, you break it up into groups like this, no more than like 8 or 10 people in the group. I don't know how big the area is, but you break it up into this discussion, and the people who are usually quiet through these discussions get their chance to talk. Because if you do a round robin, what's called round robin, everybody gets a minute. You get to say what you need to in a minute. And you go around the table, and nobody interrupts, and nobody says anything else. And you find out that the other 6 people that are usually quiet in that group are the ones that have the really strong ideas that say, and it cuts right to the heart of the matter. You know, and usually they're the quieter ones in our service meetings. They're the ones that I turn to for guidance, which is why I ask everybody if I was inserting myself too much in this convention discussion, because, oh, Lord, I've got an 8-foot-tall platform on that, of which I'll probably dive off and do a swan dive or something soon. Daniel, what's next? What's next?
I'm lost. I'm sorry, I'm daydreaming. Just to let you know, it's 12 hours time difference. So back home is just the other day, so to speak. I'm sorry. I'm really lost right now. I feel like trapped, you know, having my hand in the candy, but I haven't. Okay, so what's next? Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so I would, in looking at this, you know, and looking at, you know, what's coming up. Well, there's somebody's ahead of me here. Concepts. Workshops. Each of those, you know, and one of the things, one of the most important concepts that we have is our eighth concept, okay, which talks about effective communication. Right, it's the only way that it can happen, and it's about having that connection. I'm seeing a sort of a informal sign language for connection over here to my right. So it's about having communication, having dialogue with people. Workshops are about dialogue. You know, the first, probably the best workshop I ever went to, I had 9 months clean. And we had a traditions workshop in Quincy, Illinois. It was a 5-hour drive for me to go to this traditions workshop. Right? But we sat all day long as a group, about 15 or 20 of us sat all day long as a group, read each of the traditions out of the basic text, and talked about how that would apply to service and how it would apply. You know, and we did that all day long, and we got through the first eight, because then we made a second workshop, and I made it in my hometown so I didn't have to drive. And then I put everybody up in my apartment, which was just insanity. But we got through the rest of them. You know, but we talked all day long about the traditions. It wasn't a 35 minutes at a meeting, or a 20 minutes, or 5 minutes at area service. You know, everybody put all your papers away. Stop writing and just listen to us read the traditions. You know, some areas will do that. You stop doing whatever it is that you're doing and you read the entire text of the concept. And then, taking it the next step, break into small groups and have discussions about the questions in the concepts booklet. How could this apply? How is it we might apply this concept to our service efforts? And perhaps one time it'll have a focus on how can we apply this with H&I, or how can we apply this with our public information or public relations or public image, however it is that it's phrased in your local community. Also, I'll put in a plug since I mentioned public relations. The next five chapters, 5 through 9 for the Public Relations Handbook are being released on September 1st. Any member can have review and input, okay? This is the section that's going to talk much more about H&I and how the cooperative effort for everyone to make sure that we're coordinating our efforts with correctional and treatment facilities goes to the issue over here as well. The Public Relations Handbook, September 1st, yesterday. It should be at your house soon. It was just getting released. We've got half the staff here at the convention and half the staff back taking care of the store in California. So any member can participate in that, all right? It's a 90-day review and input process. So if you want to get it, go online, register. You'll get a copy of it. It's not downloadable, but you can get a copy of it and input it, all right? I heard somebody recently say that you needed to give it to your literature committee to review and input. It's not for the literature committee. It's for the people that are doing the work. We want to know if this is actually working or not. So anybody can do that. So I wanted to get that plug in. As it relates to that. But it's about communication. It's our greatest challenge. It's why many of us ended up in the rooms, because we were unable to tell people we needed help. Or we were unable to tell people that we were afraid. We were unable to tell people what we were doing, what's going on inside. And we come to the rooms and we find other people that have developed that ability. They've developed the ability to say, I don't know. I don't understand what that is. You know, they've developed that level of humility to be able to say, I don't know all of the answers. I certainly don't have all the answers. But we come here and we find that common bond with one another. And that's what we need to do, is refocus, reconnect with that common bond. Because our ultimate focus is to carry the message to the addict who still suffers. You know, that's what it is that we do at NA World Services. When we're sitting at, when Daniel and I are in board meetings, that's what our focus is. We may be talking about something that's 9 years in the future. We may be talking about a project that we're trying to put together to see how it can better assist the groups in carrying out their primary purpose. But it's always the focus is about that. You know, one of the things that's helped me in my service efforts, and others have said that they find it to be beneficial as well, is to take a slightly different view of our service structure, okay, instead of using one that's an upper and lower, the hierarchy about, well, this is a higher level of service than that. You know, since I'm chair of the World Board, I'm probably the lowest point down. You know, well, anytime you get into upper and lower, it's about priority, it's about dominance, it's about power, it's about patriarchy and all that other hoo-ha. Okay? So what I view, okay, and the way that I view it is we're all on a level playing field. Okay? And we're here in Chino. Okay, can I use you as an example? Would you stand up, sir? All right. Gino is the newcomer. All right? So, Gino's the newcomer, and then the people at his table are the group that are supporting him. Okay? They're encircling him. And then the area, okay, the rest of the tables here are the area, and we're encircling and supporting that group who's supporting the newcomer. And then the region are the outer tables around here. Okay, and they encircle and support the area and provide them with that service. And then World Services is the entire fucking building. Okay? And we encircle and support the rest of it. Okay, but still, the focus is him. Now, it may happen that John, did you stand up back there? Would you point at Gino? Okay. Now, are we pointing the same direction? Yes, we are. Our views may be different, but we're pointing the same direction. We're focusing on the newcomer. It allows room for disagreement. It allows room for agreement. It allows us to all be equal and not about somebody's more important, less important, any of that. Okay? Thanks, fellas. So, I think we have exhausted our time. I did want to say thank you for attending the World Services Forum workshop on infrastructure. I wouldn't bother with buying the tape for this because the discussion happened at the table and they're never going to hear it. So these are the tapes, these are the microphones for the taper people. And it's like, you know, these small group discussions, I think I'd be really upset if I bought it. You know, I'd send it back and say it was defective. I didn't get the crux. Oh, okay. Once there was this, no. There once was a kid from Nantucket. All right. But this inventory process, what it is that we've done, is simple enough that you can do it at home. Okay? Break it into small groups like we've done here. You know, divide people up. You know, have the quieter people sitting with the loud mouths. Make it round robin. Okay? Enforce the rules. One person speaks at a time, you get 1 minute to say what you need to say, and then move on from there. Okay? Do that. What's working, what's not working, how can we make it better? Alright? It's a simple process. You can do it in groups, you can do it in areas, you can do it in region. It works. You know, I know they used this process for some service efforts in Nepal a couple of months ago. So it's being used around the world. So it works really well. So thank you very much for coming. Have a great convention.